Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. Emilio Despirito here. I'm happy to be here with you each and every week. We're talking about real estate, which I think is the best topic, right? But of course, but we've got on with us today Paul Salcone. He handles residential mortgages over at North Point Bank, and they have the ability to write loans in all 50 states, which is fantastic. They've got some out-of-the-box programs as well. If you're self-employed or you're an investor, which is fantastic, and that goes up and above, of course, the traditional, first-time buyer programs, jumbo loans, and the whole slew of it. So Paul's a massive resource for us here in Rhode Island, Engel and Volkers, and of course throughout southeastern New England as well too. Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Amelia, for having me this morning.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure. So, the good thing is every Friday we have you in our shop in East Greenwich, and you talk with the advisors about the market, about market conditions, about what we need to know about the financial markets, mortgage rates, everything. And Paul, I thought that was so fantastic, and it really gives us a good wide scope, especially when we're talking with buyers and sellers, to understand outside of inventory, what's happening out there with the terms of the market. So let's jump into that today. Let's talk about the current market conditions, rates, where you see things going.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great topic. Obviously, the spring market, coming into full force now, and obviously the weather's starting to turn. People are thinking about, buying a home or maybe selling their home, and what's going on right now. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, rates are always the hot topic. Obviously, they've been for the last, say 12 to 24 months. Rates are, right now, there haven't really had much movement in the last, say, month or so. They go up a hair, go down a hair. They're right now in that low to mid 6% range, which
Got
again,
it.
obviously, it's a little higher than the past, but better than it was, say, 3 or 4 months ago.
Eight and a half, the
Yeah,
low.
that was crazy. I mean, that's what I'm saying here. And everyone's like, oh, well, rates are going down. And then we all believe, and I'm confident it'll happen. Rates will go down further as we get closer to the election into early 25. I think you'll see rates down at least 1%, in my opinion, maybe a little bit more. But the same token, what I'm telling everyone right now is, if you want to buy a home in this market, get pre-approved today. They say, well, why would I do it today? Prices are high and rates are high. Well, guess what? Prices aren't going down anytime soon. I mean, we all know that. The prices, demand is so high for real estate. So if you're going to buy a home, you can get today. Let's say you buy a home today and prices are a little higher than you want to pay. But guess what? You get a home today, rates go down in, say, 6, 8, 10 months, you're going to refinance. So now your payment, maybe it's, X and Y dollars. Now you're going to save $300 a month just by refinancing. Whereas if you wait, the flip side, oh, I'll wait till rates go down. Okay, you can wait when rates go down. What's going to happen is more people are going to be able to qualify. They also, their buying power is going to be higher because the rates are lower. You cannot refinance the value of your home. You can only, or what you owe, you can only refinance the rate itself. So why not jump into the market today, first-time home buyer or repeat? And let's get a house now at today's little higher rates and then refinance and save money down the road. I mean, do you agree with that kind of course of action?
I do actually. I mean, as a real estate investor and somebody who, owns rental properties, I'm all in, man. I'm all in. And you can't time the housing market. I get this from Stuart Siegel. He's the vice president of operations over at Engel & Völkers Americas, 45, 50 years in the business. He was one of the founders of Sotheby's. This guy, you know what he told me? He said, "Emilio, you can't time the market. Don't even try." And he's right. He's right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's key. And sometimes when I tell people, I'm sitting down, especially with a first-time home buyer, for example, who maybe they're renting right now, or maybe they're living with family, and they want to buy that home, either single family or maybe even the multi, but like, I don't know, payment this and that. I'm like, listen, there are ways we can get creative in this market to keep your payment lower. I mean, there's something that's very common, for example, the 2-1 buy now. Now,
That's
it's
great.
something that was short-lived, but also it does have hold some momentum with people who are looking for a short-term fix, meaning, okay, I want my rate to be lower for the next, say, 12 months because I know rates will go down long term. I can refinance. With this, situation, you can actually use closing cost credits or your own funds if you like, and get a rate. 2-1 buydown means essentially year one, it's 2% lower, and year two is 1% lower. So let's just say hypothetically rates are in the mid sixes. That would mean year one, your interest rate would be like mid fours. So now, then year two would be mid fives. But the goal here would be, it's a short-term play. Get yourself a lower payment now, and then when the rates go down, permanently, we'll refinance you to a 30-year fixed traditional. So it's something to think about, especially first-time home buyers who maybe want to, you know, a little scared about the payment, or maybe a little bit more than they want to spend, but they can still afford it. It's just a matter of a peace of mind. So it's something we can do.
Yeah, you know, and right on, Paul. I think by far the folks that have the hardest time to grasp what's going on in the market is first-time buyers, and rightfully so, because, you know, they don't have anything to gauge their experience off of. And the other thing too is that, unfortunately, with a world of so many scams and so many, you know, things that happen and all this bad news that we're bombarded with, sometimes I notice first-time home buyers are a little reserved and they're a little apprehensive to take advice from professionals like you and I. And the other thing too, and I'm sure you see it, is we notice first-time home buyers will fall on their face 3 or 4 times before they start taking our advice.
Oh, absolutely. Even when, you know, when something else I do to help them, and especially I always mention first-time home buyers, because not that repeat buyers are very important as well, but first-time home buyers in particular, you know, they obviously need advice. They haven't done this before. They hear things from friends on the internet. They read things, which is the worst thing to do. But again, we, you know, yeah, so we give them advice. And, you know, when I pre-approve someone, the first question I ask, obviously I run their credit. I'm verifying their income, of course, and, you know, down payment sources. But I ask them, where do you want to be at for a monthly payment? Not what the most you can afford. Because if you can afford a payment of $4,000 a month, but you don't want to be over $2,500, then I have to take that into an account when I pre-approve you. And sometimes people are like, well, pre-approve me for my maximum. Okay, but your maximum payment, even though you can qualify, are you going to make that payment? Do you want to be at that point right now? Do you know, maybe you're house poor because of it? And that's the first question I ask. And I think that that's key. And one other thing I do on pre-approvals is, let's just say, for example, you can go at, you're at 450 for a pre-approval amount. But you know what? Maybe I pre-approve you for 425. The reason being is, you know, in this market, very competitive. If you have a house that's 425, it's probably not selling for 425. So my point is, if I pre-approve you, you know, for a little bit less, give you a little wiggle room. If you want to go further, I can stretch it. But then if you have to get in a situation where you have to go above asking or do something outside the box, it gives you that little extra money. I don't want to maximize it so that now 450, that's all you can do. Now that house is 450, maybe you don't qualify for it because you have to go to 460 or 470. So I try to give a little wiggle room there as well.
That's great advice. And if you're just tuning in, we've got Paul Salcone with North Point Bank here with us today. Paul's a sales manager. He runs the crew down at North Point, and he does a fantastic job. They've got a slew of mortgage products for you, everything from first-time buyers all the way to jumbo loans to loans for self-employed investors. And if you want to check Paul out, you can easily reach him. I'm going to go ahead and share that phone number. So grab a pen and grab some paper or put it in your phone. Paul Salcone, North Point Bank, 401-419-9291. Again, that's Paul Salcone, 401-419-9291. Maybe you have some mortgage questions. Maybe you're a first-time buyer. Maybe you are a second or third-time buyer. Maybe you have a home to sell and you're looking just to kind of gauge where rates are, what it would cost you per month to go buy your dream home. Paul and I can help you out. We can get that home sold. We can get the max amount of equity there. And Paul's going to make sure you have a very aggressive terms as far as, you know, the mortgage program he's going to put you in to, and he's going to give you some great service there. You know, Paul, I agree with what you were saying about the market, about where things are going, and about how the interest rate, it's lower than it was, and it's lower than the 40-year average. The 40-year average, I think, is around 9%. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So when you look at that, if we're in the sixes today, that's really not horrible. And when the rates drop, when the rates go lower, because it's likely to happen, okay, the prices are only going to go up. So I agree with your sentiment there so very much.
Yeah, and one other thing I like to add is, you know, when I sit down with someone to pre-approve them, you know, obviously I want to answer all their questions, make them feel comfortable and be transparent. But I also, what I like to do is, everyone, you know, most people have an idea what they want to be, conventional financing, FHA, VA. What I do is I look at all their options. I'll do an analysis. Okay, this is what you would be conventional. This is FHA. This is VA if you're that, you know, you're qualified for that program. Portfolio loan for people outside the box, just to give them all their options. We actually had someone recently who your office, obviously your shop, with a VA client who ended up going conventional because even though they were VA qualified, the conventional made more sense. You got their offer accepted. And that's what, you know, in this market, you put someone in a best place to succeed and get their offer accepted. And that's what I try to do in every client.
Oh, right on, Paul. Absolutely. Look, if you're navigating the real estate market or you're out there, you know, kind of on your own, you're not sure if you're going to use a real estate advisor or you're going to use, you know, somebody local here in mortgages, You should really weigh out all of your options. Look at the pros and cons of all of the different ways of doing it. And that's part of what we do. We're going to guide you through the process here. Give Paul a call if you have any questions in regard to the financial markets, the mortgages, and he can help you out there. 401-419-9291. Again, 401-419-9291. You can text him as well there too. That's his cell phone. Paul, appreciate you jumping on the show today to talk about this. Really, always a pleasure. And we'll talk with you soon.
Thank you, Amelia. I love being on your show. Have a great day.
You're very welcome. You too. Awesome. Great segment. This segment was powered by Paul Saucone at North Point Bank. We'll be back in 2 seconds right here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. All right. Good morning. Today, we've got a great guest on the show with us. It's Ted Tapuzis with Tapuzis and Associates. Ted is he focuses on real estate law, and he's an attorney here in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and also has an office in Florida. So one in Rhode Island, one in Florida. And let me tell you, he knows this stuff, which is great. Ted, thanks for jumping on with us
Thanks,
today.
Amelia.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. So,
Amelia.
the topic a lot of our buyers and sellers alike are talking about is this, they're getting hit with all of the news, and they're getting hit with a lot of false information, a lot of good information, a lot of bad information. How do you separate it? How do you know? And the big topic is, how are buyers agents going to be compensated with the coming changes in July? As a seller, do I wait to put my listing on the market? Will I save money if I don't compensate a buyer's agent? For buyer's agents that are out there listening, how do I get my buyer to pay for the services? Buyers, what do I do? How do I afford this? There's so many questions. I wanted you to bring you on today so that we could talk about how exactly we would structure this. So.
This is new territory for us, really is. I mean,
It is, but it's not, Ted. At Engel & Völkers, we've been doing this for the past 6 months. We made it mandatory for our clients, our buyers, to be under buyer contract with us. And it's gone over extremely well. But some other places are a lot different. But I'm
I mean,
curious
I
if.
think you guys are kind of progressive when it comes to that, which is good because you think out of the box a little bit. I think if you're a smaller shop, mom and pop, you might be might be a little difficult to overcome some of these changes, right? I mean, these are it's a new new way to do business.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, well, let me ask you this, right? So, closing cost credits, right? Closing cost credits are where the buyer can come in and the buyer says, "Hey, listen, I'm purchasing this house at 500,000, but we want to add an additional $20,000 to the mortgage." Okay? And that 20,000 is going to be a credit from the seller on paper to us. So we're adding that 20K to the mortgage. The seller still gets their 500 net that they wanted. We're adding that 20 on. Can you kind of talk about how that would be worded on a purchase and sales agreement, like how all of that works where a buyer's agent would be able to be compensated?
I mean, I think that would just be, it would just be written into the well, not in the addendum, but the additional terms in the contract to talk about like that these funds are going to be used towards. I mean, you can be creative with the language a little bit, but be used towards the payment of a co-broke's commission in the amount of X or closing costs, prepaids and allowances, and a co-broker's commission for a total of $20,000. I mean, I think these are this is and I and I'm just I kind of thinking this thing out a little bit. I don't know if we've really we probably have had some transactions already where the new NAR or the ruling in that case has translated into some actual closings being conducted in a little bit different process. But I would imagine that that the language that I just described would be the language that we would use. I don't think that would be anything other than that, you know, because the lender just has to incorporate that into the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And cover the you know, just up the loan amount, and the seller then won't realize a reduction in their net proceeds.
Yeah, with the closing cost credits, correct. Yeah, they won't. But I got to tell you, man, I've you know, I've done close to 50 transactions year to date, right? And this is there sellers are paying buyer's agents still. And I think realtors are doing a really good job right now. And I got to give credit to all the realtors here in Rhode Island that I know, that I'm talking with, all the different brokerages, you know, whoever I'm talking with, they're doing a really great job of educating the consumers on what's going on, and really also doing a great job in you know, showing consumers, look, you know, there's different ways you can slice this. And by far, I have seen very, very limited change in the buyer's brokerage compensation as it sits. I mean, that might change a little bit further on, as you know, in July, when it's taken off of MLS, they're saying that they're going to take the buyer side compensation off of MLS. But I don't see sellers massively changing the way that they're selling properties, because ultimately,
I agree.
Right. You know, so it's,
yeah, I do agree.
I can't
see it either. Sorry to interrupt you, but I, you know, I can't see it either, because, you know, there's certain limitations in being able to, you know, like, you know, navigate through this. You know, think about like the VA loan, think about the FHA loan, think about all these, you know, there's a lot of people right now. We're in this, higher interest rates. So we have to do something about concessions, like how we opened up this segment. So I do think that both parties, seller and the buyer, have to work together to, you know, the seller needs the buyer to be able to, you know, purchase their home, you know, so you got to work a little bit. That's the way it is right now with the, we just mentioned offline, there's a little uncertainty as to where the rates are going. You know, although, you know, most people think that there's going to be reductions in the federal funds rate before the end of the year. And that'll most likely result in maybe better rates for consumers, you know, soon. But we don't know for sure. I mean, there's some talk about, you know, rates maybe being a little bit higher. So, you know, for the time being, until they definitely knock inflation down. So I think there has to be some give and take by a seller, regardless of that decision. And it looks just like we just discussed.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, the most important thing that came out of this, which I think is a good thing, is just, you know, that just to remind the public that commissions have always been negotiable, right? I've seen some headlines from the was it the Washington Post, right? Stupid. They said, this is what they said. They said, realtors are no longer at 6%. All right. So let me just tell you, we're not,
there's ever
no such thing as a standard 6%, right? No. We see 7 out there. We see 5, we see 4, we see
it. It's always negotiable.
It's negotiable, and you know, people have always, I would think, know that, because we tell them it's negotiable, right? So the other thing I saw, Ted, was that real estate prices will fall and homes will become more affordable because realtors will not be charging 6%.
I heard the same thing, and I don't know how that will look. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? I don't think it's going to make that lasting or that earth-shattering impression. It's not going to make that big of a deal.
Dad, I can't specifically talk about specific numbers as far as like what we charge and whatnot on air, right? You know, whatever. But what I can say is this: is that our clients, they know the news, they know what's going on out there, and they are paying. They're saying, look, we don't want to skimp on service. We don't want to skimp on marketing. We want to hire the best, and we understand there's a cost to that. And that's our clients. And guess what's happening for our clients? they're earning more money. They're having a better transaction because they have a full team of people servicing them and doing what they should be doing. Their home
they're
home
not wasting time.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, and same thing. And they're attracting the mass of buyers that are coming in with agents who are still apps. Some agents are still uneducated on how to even work with the buyer in the context of an exclusive agreement and charge the buyer. So
you're right.
All stuff is going on. It's kind of comical. Some of the news things that you see.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to result in lower prices. It just doesn't make much sense. I think your point is exactly right. I think at the end of all this, you'll see that there's still going to be this negotiable element of commissions, and that the seller is going to have to participate in that and not, you know, close the door on a buyer. You know, especially when, you know, we're obviously still in a seller's market right now, you know, but when it does shift to more of a buyer's market, then what do you think the seller's going to do? The seller's going to want to sell their home. Yeah. So they're going to do everything they can to entice people, like the concession, like we just spoke about. Like, you know, that's a thing that at one point, you know, the last couple of years was something that was not talked about a whole lot. Now we're starting to talk about it, and there's a reason why we're talking about it. So I think we're going to see that's not going to go away. You know, this and these commissions to both parties are not going to go away. There's also going to be conflicts of interest, you know, for a listing agent to deal with the whole transaction. So they understand that. So, you know, I think there's just going to have to be a path, a route to get through, and that'll be the new norm, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, we've got Ted Tapuzis with Tapuzis and Associates. He's a real estate attorney here in Rhode Island, Mass, Connecticut, and also Florida. And we're talking about some of the headlines that you've been seeing over the past month or so in regards to realtor compensation, real estate agent compensation, a settlement that's happening, how buyers are being buyers agents are being compensated and all of that. And, you know, ultimately it's just a ton of sensationalism out there. And we would suggest to speak with a realtor, speak with an attorney, find out, you know, everything you can and understand the pros and cons of the whole picture, right? It's not, there's never been a situation where commissions have been non-negotiable, right? Again, the sensationalism, the ability in this country to sue a large party and make a ton of money, unfortunately, is more of the driving factor. Money and greed on the other end is more of a driving factor. And they're out there bashing the largest lobbying organization, which fights for homeowners' rights. I mean, it's funny that this is happening at the same time when you've got, you know, such a massive amount of corporations buying up homes and gobbling them up away from first-time buyers and downsizers so that they can jack the prices of rent up across the country. But nobody's talking about that. So really, who's behind all of this? I don't know. But hey, let's put the realtors who advocate for the public and the National Association of Realtors against one another, the same party against one another, and let's see what, you know, who knows what's going on here. That's just a thought, Ted. But you know, who knows?
Yeah, I know. You're right. It's always been negotiable. You know, listing agreements have always been negotiated. It's not something, and you sign them and you know, as part of, it's a normal process of selling a property, and it's always negotiated. You can see that there's blank lines on the form, you know. Yeah. Why do you think there's blank lines in the form? To negotiate.
That's right. That's a solid point on any form. If there's a blank line, you know, but even if you go to the car dealership, right. And you know, there's a price on the car, you can negotiate that still too. But I like what you said about blank lines. Blank lines mean there's negotiations.
That's right.
Oh, that's a great quote, Ted. That's a very good quote. Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I love that. Send me over your headshot, Ted, because I'm going to have Lucas in our marketing department take your headshot and make that a quote. And we're going to share that. That's awesome. For our listeners, make sure you follow us at Despirito Team on Instagram and Google Despirito Team Facebook, and make sure you like us there and follow us there. So Ted, always a pleasure having you on, man. We got to cut to a commercial break.
Okay.
But listen, if you
Thanks,
have
Amelia.
any questions, you're welcome. If you have any questions at all for Ted and his firm, they're fantastic. Whether you're a realtor, whether you're a buyer, a seller, whatever it is, go to taclosinglaw.com. Again, taclosinglaw.com, and you can go ahead and connect with them there. Ted, thank you again.
Yeah, thanks, Amelia.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. Awesome. This segment of the Spirito Team Real Estate Show has been powered by Tapuzis and Associates. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Thanks. All right, welcome back to the show. So if you were listening earlier on, I thanked Paul Salcone. He's with North Point Bank for joining us today. I said, "Hey, Paul, see you later." And then you know what? When he got off here, I said, "Paul, you got to come back on. I got some more stuff to talk with you about." And luckily, we got him back on the air. So Paul, thanks for time to jump back on with us.
Hi, you're very welcome.
Awesome. So Paul, the reason why I wanted you to have to jump back on is last week. In a couple of weeks before, we've been getting some questions from our listeners in regards to buying and selling properties at the same time. Some of the questions that were coming in, we answer these questions all day, every day, and we want our listeners to know, what we're saying and how we're helping folks that are buying and selling. The question, one of the questions that came in from Kelly in Narragansett was this. She said, Emilio, she said, "When I have to, I'm going to sell. I know my house is going to sell. I can't find anything to buy. What do I do?" Right. Another question came in. "Well, hey, I've got such a low interest rate on my home, Emilio. What do my wife and I do when we have to, when we're selling this and we have to purchase something at a much higher rate and we're paying kind of the same amount for a mortgage for a much smaller home?" Right. So like these are the questions that are coming in. So I'd love to hear your take on
Sure.
those. And I'm going to give the listeners my take.
Absolutely. I mean, so just your first question you were asking about, the buying and selling. So obviously you have a house to sell. In this market, inventory's lower than it has been in years. So the house, is even average or better. It's going to sell in probably 1 weekend, most likely. You're going to have numerous offers. Obviously, that's the case, especially in certain parts of the state. So it makes it hard because you're right. Do you want to, accept an offer, but it's contingent on you finding suitable housing? I mean, that is an option, of course, but then again, it might deter certain buyers of, oh, well, you know what? How long is that going to take in this market? Like, I want to move in within 30 to 45 days. How can we, and then what do you do as an incentive? Can you do a rent back situation where, you know what? We'll close on the property in 60 days, but you have to give me up to 60 more days to rent back. That's something that I've seen come together a little more often than it has in the past. And then after that, you'd have to then find, God forbid, you have to find some type of short-term rental or stay with family. Not that you want to go that route, but I see that a lot of rent backs right now, and people are all more open to it, buyers than in the past, because inventory is so low. So it almost is like if you can have the flexibility as a new buyer to, sometimes that's going to help your offers. If you say you have to close in 30 days because you're selling your house as well, and that's when it becomes more complex. So, I mean, what do you tell your clients in that situation? How do you go around it?
Yeah, I mean, I tell my sellers some of what you just said there, and I also point out in the purchase and sales agreement when they do accept an offer, if they can get a buyer that's subject to seller finding suitable housing, I tell them a couple of things. I say, listen, they're gonna want an end date for this, whether it's 90 days. The longest we worked out was 6 months for someone. But I also say we need to pay special attention to the mortgage contingency section because over here, the buyer stated that if their interest rate exceeds 6.5%, for example, that they will not get approved for a mortgage. Now, what we want to do is we want to go back to that buyer's agent and we want to say, hey, change that to prevailing. And the reason why, Paul, and I know you know this, but for a the reason why we want to change that rate, that hard number rate, is because if rates go up, this would preclude the buyer and give the buyer an out on that agreement. So you need to make sure that, and this is one of the most important things, right, in this market. And when you're dealing with complex situations, we can put complex situations together. We know how to put this puzzle together. I don't care if it's a 100-piece puzzle or a 1,000 or a 10,000 piece puzzle, man. We put the most complex one together all the time. But we just, you know, this is these are the things that we're looking for, Paul. So that's one of the things. The other thing that I tell my clients is, hey, if you have family or friends or have a place you can rent, or if you want to travel, we had one client that had an RV. He's like, I'll just drive around the country. And I know that's a very limited, small amount of people that are going to do that. But Paul, there's always solutions, and it's all about how much money you can get today in today's market cash, and what you can do with that cash to better your life, right?
Totally agree. I mean that's what we're here for, to give advice, you know, our own knowledge, expertise, because you know there are a lot of advisors, a lot of different, you know, realtors as you call them out there, and maybe don't understand the complexities of these deals, maybe don't understand, you know, what we need to do, even just the verbiage on the contract, just about prevailing rates versus a particular rate. These are little things that seem trivial but can be very important long term when transactions like this occur where suitable housing comes into effect, you know.
100%. You know, the most important thing that I tell all of my clients is, listen, if it's not right, it's not right. If the timing isn't for you, don't do it. But here's your options. Let's look at all of your options. And I got to tell you, like, I would say with the folks that come in and say, I can't find anything to buy, what do I do? I would say about 75% to 80% of them end up listing their home within about 20 to 30 days, maybe 2 weeks to 4 weeks of that conversation, Paul, because you know why? Because we're digging and we're finding them off-market properties.
And listen, something else to keep in mind. I had a situation like this week. I actually did a an app. Actually, last week did an application. And situation was, these buyers loved the property. They had a house to sell. I was able to make it work in the short term. What I mean by that is, okay, the house they're selling was in Fall River, Massachusetts. I was able to get a short-term renter, get a lease agreement in place, as long along with a first month's deposit check, and I was able to use that right away to offset the existing mortgage. So now they can close on the new house without selling the old house. They still qualify on paper. And that's a way to, you know, it's almost a bridge loan in a sense, but we can do that naturally. And that's a lot more appealing than trying to, you know, sell the old property first. There's certain things you can do outside the box to make the offer more appealing. And that's our job, to create those scenarios.
Yeah, well, that's pretty clever, Paul. Absolutely. You know, and if you're listening right now, or and if you know, everybody knows somebody that's buying or selling real estate, or somebody that's kind of stuck in a spot and they're like, ah, you know, I really want to downsize. I don't want to do the stairs anymore. I don't, you know, I want to relocate. I'm just, you know, tired of the cold weather. You know, I whatever it is, whatever the situation is, you can go ahead and text or call me. 401-359-2338. We love taking calls, taking questions. Look, you don't have to be moving right now for us to have a conversation. You know, Paul and I, we work with clients sometimes for 2, 3, 4 years before they make a decision, right? And that's okay. Like this is part of, you have to have a conversation. You have to talk with a professional. Maybe you're talking with two or three different realtors right now, or two or three different mortgage companies, to kind of get an overall feeling. Go with your gut and who you use. Make sure that it feels good. Anybody, anytime you use a professional, but definitely get your advice. If you need some advice, you know, we've got, you know, check reviews online, right? Check our reviews. You're going to be okay. These guys are good. But what were you going to say, Paul? You're going to say
Yeah, no,
something?
listen, I was just going to also mention, your second question was regarding interest rates and how we, you know, what can we do in this market where, you know, obviously you bought a house 5, 6 years ago, 4 years ago even, and your rate's somewhere, you know, let's just say in the high twos, low threes. And obviously that was, those are like once in generation rates. I mean, hopefully we see them again, but I wouldn't count on anytime soon that low, but we'll never know the market. So I'm telling people that, okay, you're in a situation like that where you have a rate at 3%. You know, how do you incentivize someone to want to sell their current home to now buy a new house where they're going to pay a rate of maybe 2% higher? But you know what? In that situation, we all know rates, we talked about this in an earlier segment, they are going to be going down. So this is a situation where maybe you talk about that 2-1 buy down. Maybe you go with a 5-1 arm or a 10-1 arm, something that's more appealing in the short term with the long-term goal of refinancing. And then maybe rates won't be at 3%, but say they're at 4 someday. You can stomach the 4% rate when you're at 3. So if you get a rate right now, adjustable or something with a 2-1 buy down, maybe it's 4.5% year one. you know, a little easier to bite off. And then down the road, you refinance to something, or maybe even go to a 15-year down the road where the rate might be about, you know, a little higher than before. But because the 15-year versus the 30, the amount of interest you pay long-term is that much less. So we look at amortization schedule. Okay, long-term, you paid a little higher interest rate, but overall, because it's over 15 years versus 30, you save this much in interest. It almost offsets the difference in rate. So this is something else we can also go, you know, break down for them, give them a analysis from a 30-year or 15-year perspective. That's what I always want to do as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the other point too is in that question, they said, I'm trying to remember if it was Jack or Tom. I apologize, but that question came in from Barrington. But they also said something along the lines of downsizing and paying the same. Yes and no. The mortgage amount might be the same, but your taxes might be lower. Your insurance might be lower. The cost to maintain and keep that property might be less, especially when you're downsizing. So that call came in from Barrington. Now, we know the taxes are going to be high. We know the insurance is going to be high. Is it next to the water, right? In addition to that, we also know that, look, the landscaping alone for homes, you know, depending on the area in Barrington is crazy, right? I just mulched my house and it costs over $4,000, and, you know, I live in a pretty nice house, but modest, right? You know, never mind if you're right near the water or wherever. So there's all these other things that come into play. When you really look at the numbers and look at stuff, it may make sense, but the biggest thing I tell my clients is like, what do you want? Like, what about your quality of life? Like, what about that?
That's key. I mean, opportunity cost. I mean, also quality of life cost. I mean, you might pay the same for a house, but you're right, it's more conducive to your lifestyle. Maybe it's closer to the highway. Maybe it's a better community or something, you know, with more people, you know, family, friends live closer. There's, you know, there's pros and cons to every situation, and you can't just measure it by dollars and cents. It's also quality of life.
It's one of those things, right? And it's just people like to avoid change, and they'll deal with pain until the pain becomes stronger than the pain becomes intolerable, right? It becomes less painful to make that change. They wait until that point, whether it's a career move, whether it's buying or selling, you know, real estate, buying a car, you know, getting the dent on your truck fixed after 2 years of driving around with it.
Listen, I'll give you a scenario just kind of talking about what you were saying here. I have a situation where someone who looking to buy a home in East Bay, they lived in East Providence right now. They have children. And long story short, they wanted to move to Barrington because the school system, because they're paying for private schools in East Providence. Not that it's a bad community, but Barrington maybe was more desirable for them. And they were paying for the tuition for two children in private school. You know what? The house might be less than East Providence, but now the school, you factor that into the mix. Maybe Barrington's more bang for your buck. The public school might be a better option. And now you're saving the money for the private school for two children. That's going to offset there. So that's a situation where you got to look at the whole scenario as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. There's so much to take into account. And again, we welcome all of your questions. Text or give me a call, 401-359-2338. I can connect you with Paul Salcone and really any of the guests on our show, or really any services you need. We've got, you know, hundreds of professionals and services in which we're able to connect you with, you know, all over the world. So whatever you need, it might be a private jet charter, it might be a limousine, or it might be a florist. You might need a tile guy or a tile girl. Like, we've got you covered. We got all of that. So good stuff. Paul, thanks so much for jumping on the show with us today.
You're welcome. No problem at all.
Absolutely. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We urge you to give us a call and ask any questions. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back here with the top five events happening in Rhode Island. This segment of Despirito Team Real Estate Show was powered by Paul Salcone at North Point Bank. All right. I'll tell you what's going on. The spring is here. Some days it doesn't feel like it. Other days it does. But I got to tell you, the days that do, man, they make you want to stay outside. And I love it. Go get some fresh air and listen to these events here on RI Blogger. Jennifer Jaber with RI Blogger. She's going to share with us the top five events happening here in Rhode Island. It's all yours, Jen.
Thank you. And I realize that I think pretty much every single event we have to talk about is outside. So it's really happening. The warm weather is really here. Well, you know, most likely. Right. April 19th starts off one of my favorite weekly events. It's the Food Truck Fridays, and they happen Friday until September 27th. So you have a lot of time to get there from 5 to 8 p.m. And your work week with PVD Food Trucks, which hosts some of the best food trucks, as well as music, Hasbro's Boundless Playground, and much more. That's at the Roger Williams Park Carousel area. Bring a blanket, make a night of it. There's also, I think you can still ride the carousel for a small fee. So there's plenty going on there. And definitely a great way to end the week. Wednesday start flight deals and dining specials at Newport Vineyards. Roll in every Wednesday for $15 wine or beer flights and half price pizza all day. There'll be board games, fire pits on the terrace, and it's just a great way to spend your midweek. And again, that's kind of an indoor-outdoor option.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, April 20th is the Newport Beer Festival at Fort Adams State Park from 2 to 5:30. Raise your glass and enjoy 150 selections of craft beer. Tickets include a souvenir glass, all samples, foods available for purchase. It's 21 plus, obviously. There's live music, and that's $65 per person. It's also rain or shine. Everything's outside. Thursday, April 18th is the Waterfire Day, Memorial Park, and lighting. It's the season kickoff at 7:30 p.m., Waterfire Day celebrates the release of the 2024 Waterfire schedule. And the first Waterfire of the year, there'll be plenty of time to explore the local bars and restaurants while you welcome the start of the 2024 season, which actually continues all the way until December. So there's a lot of time to get there. And last but not least, Saturday, April 20th is the Shop in the Park Earth Day celebration at Patuxent Village Park from 10 a.m. to 3:30. Celebrate Earth Day with crafters, vendors, small businesses, food trucks, a petting zoo, and more. There's over 70 vendors, food, and your pets are welcome.
Awesome. Fantastic. And you can check it all out at riblogger.com. That's the best place to go here in Rhode Island to put you, to advertise your events for free and to also see what's happening out there. Great. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Appreciate you jumping on today.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You're welcome. You too. Take care. Awesome. Great show today. Thank you, Jennifer, with riblogger.com for jumping on with us. Ethan, our producer here on the show. We had Paul Salcone of North Point Bank and Ted Tapuzis with Tapuzis and Associates. Awesome. Again, thanks for joining us. If you have any real estate questions, call or text me anytime. 401-359-2338. We just helped a couple folks buy and sell some properties here that called in through the show. We helped some other people they were purchasing a property in New Hampshire. So we helped guide them along as best as we could. And another person out in Maine. So it's great. We're getting calls from all over the place. We're happy to give you guidance. We're happy to connect you as well with advisors in all the different marketplaces in all 33 countries around the globe that you can find Engel & Volker. So thank you so much. God bless you. Enjoy your day and do something good for somebody else. It's great to be an American. We'll see you later. Thank you.